Jesus was a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 to 25. Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 to 25. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, keep in mind that Paul is writing to the Colossians, and this has been recorded for us, to prepare us for judgment. We'll call this preparing for judgment. Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 to 25. Let's begin to read. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So, in this passage of Scripture, then, we want to keep in mind that Paul is preparing us for judgment. And in these passages, we are reminded that Christians often overlook the coming judgment of Christians. And we talk in terms of judgment, and we think in terms of heaven and hell. We talk in terms of judgment, and we talk about being prepared for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, at which time, Christians, we're going to go up at the rapture with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the tribulation's going to come, and then he's going to come back, and talk about being ready for the Lord's coming. But we often overlook that when the Lord does take us to heaven, one of the first things we're going to go through is a judgment for our service at the judgment seat of Christ. We have to give an account of everything that we have done down here. We have to do that. And that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. It's also found in a couple of other places in the New Testament. But let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 10 and 11 and see this coming judgment. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is a judgment just for Christians, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Okay, so we have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to receive the things that are done in the body according to that you've done, and it's whether the stuff is good or bad, you're going to face that judgment, and so am I. So Paul lays down some guidelines to improve our reward when we stand before Jesus Christ at this judgment. His interest is making us prepared, preparing us for judgment. Now, you have to keep in mind, when you think in terms of being prepared for this judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, you have to keep in mind verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, watch it, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You have to keep that in mind. I remember somebody said before, and it's, I'm sure you know it, but I'll remind you of it, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Whatever is done for Christ will last, or only what's done for Christ will last. And everything else is going to burn up and disappear. Another person said, make every decision that you make in light of the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Because you serve the Lord Christ. Now, you might not have thought about that today, but he is the judge, and you are going to give an account of everything that you've done in the body. Now, how can you assure yourself that you are going to do well at this judgment? Well, you're going to by following the simple guidelines that Paul has laid down for you in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 to 25. If you can follow those guidelines, then you will, and do what he says, you'll be prepared for that judgment. Because at that judgment, the Lord God, Jesus Christ, is going to check, first of all, your motive. Your motive. Now, it's a general statement given to every Christian, not just husbands or wives or fathers. The first statement is a general statement given to all Christians in verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. All right, so the first thing that you're going to be tested on is your motive. And your motive is best figured or calculated or determined by whose name you're doing whatever you do in. You see, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is extremely important, as you know. We pray in his name, and that's a promise that we have from Jesus Christ himself, that if we would ask the Father anything in his name, he would do it. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is extremely important. When he sent out his disciples to work for him, they marveled that devils were cast out. But you know how they were cast out? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. People were healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even following his ascension, Peter and John are going to the temple one day, and there's a crippled man there, and he gets healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Peter said about that name that that is how that man was standing there that day after he had been healed. And he said, you know something? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You're saved by that name, healed by the name, devils are cast out by that name, you pray in that name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is extremely powerful. Okay, knowing that, and knowing that you can judge everything you do by whether or not you could do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, let me ask you something. The next time that you decide you want to watch an R-rated movie, I don't mean that you went down to the theater to watch it, because you probably afraid in one of these large churches, you're probably afraid somebody that you know is going to be there. You sneak into Blockbuster real quick or one of these video stores, Hollywood, whatever they're called, and you go get you one or get you a DVD and order it in the mail, see? Next time you want to put in one of those R-rated flicks, you bow your head before you turn that thing on or before you buy that ticket into the movie theater. You bow your head and you say like this. You say, Dear Lord, I thank you for giving me the money to be able to buy this movie or rent this movie or buy this ticket to go see this movie. I thank you for that. And I'm here today as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going in to watch this nakedness and this cursing and this violence on this movie screen in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you for it, and I pray you'll bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. That you go right on in there with that ticket in hand, that money that God gave you, you spend on that movie. You sit right down there and you watch that nakedness and you watch that portrayal of the flesh and you watch that cursing and you watch that violence and you praise God and bless God through the whole thing and you tell him, thank God I'm doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Now you see how stupid that sounds? I mean, just the very thought of it right now sends kind of chills up your spine, doesn't it? Next time you, you little tough time getting control of the mouth, I understand that. You know, you live like some of us did for a number of years out there in the world, and that old mouth has a tendency to get away with you from time to time, doesn't it? The old thought life comes, you know, back and reminds you of some of the things you used to say and many of the things you heard. You get out there next time you want to swear off like that and you start cussing, you just bow your head right there in front of everybody that you're cussing out or everybody, God himself, that heard the cussing. You say, now, God, I want you to bless that stuff that just came out of my mouth, because I've said that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how stupid that is? You see, this thing about doing whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus sure puts a limiter on what you can do. Next time you decide you want to go down there to the convenience store and buy you a six-pack of beer, or you want to go down there to the saloon and buy you a drink of whiskey, or go down there to your friends' houses and a little private, you know, social gathering, and, you know, it's a Friday night, you know, you're not going to have to even worry about going to church until next Sunday, so you want to go over there and have you a couple of three little toddies with your friends. Next time you decide you want to pick that stuff up, you bow your head there, even if you're ashamed to do it in front of them. Go on back there in the bathroom, bow your head and say, now, God, what I'm preparing to do right here, I'm preparing to do in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I thank you for giving me these friends that will serve me this whiskey so I can drink it with them. And I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name, amen. And you go right on about what you're doing and drink that whiskey in Jesus' name. You can't do it, can you? Next time you decide you got to have you another pack of Marlboro or Winston or Camel or whatever your favorite smoke is. You know, I just named three brands. Name them all. I don't even know what they're all called. You know, Thin Jims and Slim Mims and all them things like that. Whatever you want, little cigarillos or whatever they are. You go down there to that convenience store. You buy that thing. You pack all that tobacco down. You know, hey, I got to pack that little deal down there. It becomes part of the habit with your hands, you see. And you take that little cellophane off of there, and you dig down in there and grab you one of them cancer sticks and stick that thing in your mouth. You bow your head before you light that match to it. And you say, now, dear God, I thank you for giving me the money to pay $4 or whatever you had to pay for this pack of cigarettes. And I thank you that I was able to use this hard-earned money to buy these cigarettes right here. And I'm going to bow my head now. Father, I'm getting ready to put this cancerous smoke down into my lungs. And I want you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, it sure makes it tough to want to light up, doesn't it? Will you see then how your motive is judged? If you can't do what you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, then don't do it, you see? Say, well, preacher, you got a little rough with me there. Look, what did I name? Four sins? It could be anything. It could be daydreaming, filthy thoughts, okay? It could be pride and envy. It could be malice and anger. It could be wrath and clamoring. It could be evil speaking. It could be evil thoughts. It could be anything else that comes out of the heart. I don't mean just to pick on those. Any of that stuff that comes up at any time during the day and night, bow your head before the Lord God and say, I'm doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus. And if you can't, don't do it. And I say that with all the courtesy that I can muster, but I want you to understand, this is a grave conviction. You are going to have to give an account of everything you do in the body. I remember talking to a Christian one time and said, you're going to have to give an account of those words. And that Christian said, well, we don't have to do that. We're saved now. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, Jesus said. And this person said, well, I'm saved, washed in the blood. I don't have to give an account of this stuff anymore. Okay, then. You say what you say in the name of the Lord Jesus, and if you can't say it in the name of the Lord Jesus, shut your mouth, charitably. God loves you. Christians, listen. We've got to wake up and realize that God is listening and viewing everything we're doing, and we've got to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. And you can't get away with what you do by saying it's sin and it's all forgiven and washed under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when God says he's going to check your motive to see if what you did in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, oh, okay, amen, all right. First thing he's going to check, and that's a general thing, is it's your motive. Second thing he's going to check is your attitude. Also in verse 17, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Go check your attitude. Can you be thankful? It's the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Boy, how are we doing in this department? Now, you know, it's a fortunate thing right now that I have the microphone and you have the speaker, because honestly, as it concerns our motive in doing what we do in the name of the Lord Jesus, and it concerns our attitude in being thankful for everything, I'll be honest with you. I'm not any happier about having to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of this stuff than you are. It just so happens that right now I'm preaching and you're listening. If the shoe were on the other foot, I'd be just as nervous as you are right now about the things I'm saying. Because there's a lot of conviction in this. God wants us to be thankful for everything. Yeah, the difficulties, the trials, the troubles, all that kind of stuff. He's going to check our attitude, how we went through everything. Now, Paul learned to be content in everything that he did, and Paul learned to glory in his infirmities. I'll be honest with you, okay? I haven't learned that yet. And indeed, he learned it. And I'm really not asking God to put me or you through anything worse to get us to that place, I'll be honest with you. But I understand that God's grace is there at the very moment that you and I suffer trials and tribulations in this world. And God wants us to have the attitude of thankfulness, or as somebody said, the attitude of gratitude when we go through that. And that is His will. Woo, boy, that's tough. And we're going to give an account of this stuff. All right, He's going to check your motive. He's going to check your attitude. Now, He's going to get specific. Those were general things. Now He gets specific. And wives, He's going to check you out. And please realize that everything He's going to check us out on concerning the judgment seat of Christ is not just included in this little thing, but these things are certainly going to be there at the judgment. Wives, what's He going to check you on? Your submission. He says in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, not your friend's husband, not to your pastor's wife's husband, although there's a certain amount of submission there. But, you know, I'll guarantee you there's some women who need to do whatever their husbands tell them to do. They go down there to the preacher to see if they can't get justification to do something different. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord, as it is fit in the Lord. Well, now, this is a natural thing. That's the way you're made. In 1 Corinthians chapter, now, you know, you may look at that and say, I don't care whether I'm made that way, and I don't care whether Paul said that way or not. Paul was a chauvinist, and I'm not going to do it. Okay, all right, it's free country. You do it any way you want to, but let me just tell you, I'm warning you. Paul's trying to prepare you for the judgment. When you get up there, God is going to judge you to see how submissive you were, because you're made that way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, so don't think that your husband doesn't have a head. His head is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And I realize our society is not in favor of that today. That is the way that it is. You want to argue about it, don't argue with me, argue with God. He's the one that had Paul write it. Paul wrote it down. God just simply called me to preach it, and I'm telling you what he said. He's going to check you on submission. You know what? You know what's becoming a popular thing today? It's getting to be a popular thing today to strike the word obey out of the wedding vows. I've been to several weddings where the word obey was just obliterated. You know, to love, honor, cherish, and obey your husband. I did a wedding one time, and the divorced mother of the bride came up to me and said, "You had that word obey in there. Take that out." And I turned to the bride-to-be, and I said, "You want that word out of there? You go to the justice of the peace. If you want a church wedding, the word obey is going to stand because that's what Paul said." And the mother looked at me kind of gruffy, and I said, "Well, let me ask you something. How's it going in your marriage?" Well, she just hung her head. It wasn't going well in her marriage at all. She was divorced. I didn't mean to be mean, but I'm trying to help that little girl out that was getting ready to be married, and there wasn't any reason for her to go through the same thing her mother just went through. God knows that her mother and her husband-to-be and me and everybody else in that room wanted that marriage to last. If you want the marriage to last, submit. So what if he tells me to do something God told me not to do? All right, then. There is a clear line of limitation on how far that submission can go. If he told you to go out there and steal something, you're not supposed to do that. God told you not to steal. If he told you to go down there and lie about something, you don't have to lie about that stuff. Now, let me tell you something. God's going to check you out on that. You say, "Well, why would that be fair? I don't think there's any reason in the world why God should make me have to submit." Christ submitted himself to the Father, and the church has to submit itself to Christ. Christ willingly submitted himself to the Father, did everything that God Almighty told him to do, including going to the death of the cross. He said, "Father, if it be thy will, I'm going. If you, is any other way you can do this without, you know, if there's any way this cup can pass for me, I want it to pass." God said there's no other way for it to be. I can't let the cup pass. You've got to die. He did it. He submitted his will to the will of the Father. And if Christ could do that to the Father for the sake of us getting saved, women, you can submit to your own husbands. Your own husbands. Not to the fellow you work for down there, wherever you work, and what he has to advise about how to fix your marriage. What your husband and you work out on your knees in your own house underneath the authority of God's Word. Okay, now, husband, he turns the guns on you, and he says, "You want to get ready for the judgment? I'm going to judge you on love. I'm going to judge you on love. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Whew! Boy, I'm telling you, how much does he want us to love them? Husbands, he wants us to love our wives as much as Christ loved the church. How much did Christ love the church? He gave himself for us. A fellow walked to the preacher one day, and he says, "I think I love my wife too much." He said, "Are you willing to die for her?" He said, "Well, I'm not sure." He said, "Yeah, I'm willing to die for her, but I don't think I love her any more than Christ loved the church." He said, "Well, you're not in danger then, because," he said, "husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." And he says, don't be bitter. I realize there are some bitter experiences in marriages, but he says, don't you be bitter. You have something come up like that, you swallow your pride, you humble yourself before the Lord, you recognize that half the time the problem is with you, you're making just as many mistakes as you think she is. You get on your knees, you ask God to forgive you, you go in there and you ask her to forgive you, and you love her. Oh, he's going to check you out on love. All right, now children, don't think you get off scot-free because he's going to check you on obedience. Verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. All right, children, he didn't give you the right to make the decision about how far to go with it. Of course, if your parents were foolish enough to send you out and try to prostitute you, you don't go there. We understand that. But I'll tell you what, 9.9 times out of 10, parents aren't trying to do that, particularly Christians. I mean, that is trying to make you do something God doesn't want you to do. Christians are generally trying to raise you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Obviously, if a Christian parent is trying to molest a child, don't go along with that. Amen? Craziness, man, the stuff that's going on in this world today. But he's going to check you out on obedience, and he says, children, obey your parents in all things. That's what he said. And he said, hey, I guarantee you, you know this thing's going to work out well because it is well-pleasing to God. In Ephesians 6, when he says about you obeying your parents, he said this is right, and it's a commandment with promise that your days may be long on the earth. Now you say, well, why would Christ think it's fair that I got to obey my parents? I don't want to do my homework and do everything they tell me to do. Well, let me tell you something. Christ obeyed his Father. He said, I do always those things that please him. And when the Lord spoke from heaven, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Because he was obedient in everything. Obedient even to the death of the cross, the Bible says. Are you obedient in everything? You say, no. Well, then you're not ready for the judgment. You want to prepare yourself for the judgment seat of Christ? Do as Christ did to his own Father. You obey your parents. All right, fathers, how's he going to judge you? On instruction. On instruction. He says here in verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You see, you've got to instruct your children by training. That doesn't mean you just beat the fire out of them every time they get out of line. You've got to train them. That means you explain and discipline. A lot of times you don't have to come in there and whoop like you think you do. You sometimes got to train so they'll learn. And you got to lead by example. Train and explain. Prepare them for making their own decisions underneath God's authority and prepare them to deal with the consequences of those decisions when they're older. Don't lay down double standards for them. Don't send them to bed at 10 o'clock telling them there's only certain things they can watch on TV, and then after they go to bed, you flip on the bad stuff. If it's not okay for their eyes, it's not okay for your eyes. If it's not okay for their ears, it's not okay for your ears. Listen, don't provoke them to anger and discourage them by not giving time to them. Give them your time. And don't discourage them by giving them no liberty inside of the fence. There are appropriate fences of rules that you need to lay down for your children, and when they're inside of those fences, they are within the perfect liberty of your will to do whatever they can that's legal and appropriate inside those fences. Encourage them. Christ doesn't discourage them. David, when he got really fouled up because Ziklag was burned down, his wives were stolen, all the possessions were stolen, and his men wanted to stone him, David encouraged himself in the Lord, and your children should be able to come to you and encourage themselves in you and in your instruction and in your time. All right, what else is he going to judge you on? Well, servants, he's going to judge you on service. That is, if you're an employee or if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. That is, you're not just working hard when the boss shows up and then slacking off when he's gone. I know people, I know Christians that do that, and that is a terrible, terrible mistake because you think you're getting away with it down here because your boss doesn't see you. But when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, Christ is going to reopen the file, and he's going to show all those times that you slacked off when your boss thought you were doing a good job, and you're going to give an account, and you are going to lose some of your reward as a result. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, that's what he says, fearing God, because God always is watching. When you and I get to that judgment, the best we're going to be able to say is, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Well, at least do your duty then. Christ did. Christ came here to serve. He didn't come here to be served. And he said that he laid that thing down in his example, and he said that we're not any greater than he is. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He gave it all. Now, the next thing he's going to judge us on, and it's a general thing, he's going to judge you on effort. Generally speaking, then he judges Christians on three things: your motive, your attitude, and your effort. And then the specific things are: wives, he judges you on submission. Husbands, he judges you on love. Fathers, he judges you on instruction. Servants, he judges you on service. And children, he judges you on obedience. But in general, the last thing is he's going to judge your effort. Verse 23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Everything you do, do heartily as, give it all you got. Christ gave it all that he had every day. I mean, there were times when he sat down to a meal and the sick folks came up and he was right in the middle of the thing and he didn't want to be bothered. He went on out there and his disciples came up to him and said, you keep this up, it's going to drive you crazy. Sitting there talking to the woman on the well, they came back with food for him, and he was in the middle of a conversation. He says, what'd you eat? He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And it was to finish the will of his Father. Do everything mow the lawn with full effort. Play your recreation with full effort. Spend your time with your family with full effort. What you do on your job, give it all you got. Christ did, because that's the way you're going to be judged. Now, if you do a good job of doing all those things, you're going to get a reward, according to verse 24. And if you do a bad job, whatever you do that was wrong, you're going to receive for the wrong which you had done. You're going to lose some reward, or you're going to get a slap on the hand, or whatever he's going to do. There is no respect of persons. God's going to deal with the pastor just the same as he will with the people in the pew. He's going to deal with the father the same way he will with the children as the fathers, the husbands as the wives as the husbands, the servants as the masters, everybody all together. So keep these things in mind. It's absolutely important that you and I do to be prepared for the judgment. God, as a general rule, is going to check your motive, your attitude, and your effort, and in specifics, he's going to check you wives on submission, you husbands on loves, you children on obedience, your fathers on instruction, you servants on service. Are you prepared for the judgment? If not, get high behind, start living like it was going to be today.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.